everyone out there in the interwebs. This is 4Player Plus. I'm your host, Nick Henderson. I'm joined this evening by Nolan Hedstrom.
How's it going, everybody?
And Ed Mitchell.
Hello, everyone.
And like I said, this is 4Player Plus. This is actually a bonus podcast series we do here at 4playernetwork.com. We've been doing these for a while now. I won't waste too much of your time, you know, prepping what this is. But we do these bonus podcasts. We talk about various things, whether it's movies or spoiler casts for games or whatnot. But this is the second week we're doing. We're trying out a new format. And I'm going to try and do these on a weekly basis on Monday nights before my normal stream. Usually around 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's going to be a kind of like a variety show. Every week, the topic could be dramatically different than the last. For instance, last week, if you haven't listened already, Crispy and I talked about Solo, A Star Wars Story, which was a fun conversation. Tonight, Nolan, Ed, and I are going to talk about E3, for one. We're gonna catch up specifically with Ed, because we haven't had a chance to talk to Ed about E3. And then we're going to talk about Shadows Die Twice, which is that upcoming From Software game, the guys that made Dark Souls. Where was that announced? Was that at the Video Game Awards?
Yes, that was the VGAs.
They teased it at the VGAs last year, and we haven't really heard anything about it since. But there's been some pretty interesting, juicy rumors regarding it, and we're hoping to get a reveal at E3 this coming week. And then, of course, we'll round out the episode with an indie spotlight. Ed's going to talk a little bit about Masters of Anima, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, you've been streaming that a little bit, right?
I finished it on the feed on last week.
Nice. Cool. So we'll talk.
So I will be talking about that, yeah, for sure.
Sweet. So we'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the show. Of course, if you're a supporter of us on Patreon, you can join us in the Discord chat channel. It's 4Player Plus chat in Discord, and you can interact with us while we talk. If there's anything interesting, any questions or comments that you want to throw in there, we'll be happy to read them out and respond to them as we're recording. But yeah, let's kind of get right to it. I wanted to jump in and talk about E3 for a second, because that shit's next week, and we haven't had a chance to talk to Ed about it. Ed, how are you feeling about the show?
So, just like everyone else, I am going to be super bored by the Microsoft showing.
What? You
and
say that.
More.
I'm holding out hope.
For
I mean,
what?
I'm with Ed on that.
What do you think is going to happen? They're going to show Gears of War 5.
No, you're just thinking about all the first party stuff. I think that's a mistake, because last year they showed a shit ton of games. Now, albeit I ended up playing most of those games that they talked about last year on a PlayStation 4.
Right. Yeah.
But a lot of them still got their first showing at that
fair
show.
Fair enough. I think that we'll probably see the Call of Duty Black Ops 4, probably some gameplay in the Microsoft press conference.
That's always a safe
stuff
bet,
like that. Yeah. I mean, I that's not really why I'm super interested in E3. I think that Ubisoft did very well with Assassin's Creed, whatever it's called.
Origins,
that one.
Yeah, that one.
And I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Odyssey, especially if it turns out that from the trailers and stuff like that they've shown isn't going to be in Greece.
Yes,
that's cool.
I would only be excited for Odyssey. The only reason I will be is if they announce it for like late 2019.
Not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. It's going to come out this year, but
fuck.
But I think that they obviously worked very hard on that engine.
Oh yeah,
and so it. If they succeed with taking the core engine that's there and just putting another skin on it, I think that they'll it'll do well.
I'm not super sure how excited I can be about Greece as a setting, but then again, I'm seeing a lot of people having the reverse reaction to the same reaction I'm having to Greece as other people have been having to like Egypt. I've heard a lot of people lately say I couldn't get into the Egypt setting, and I'm just like, I don't get it. That's like my dream setting. Like, what are you talking about?
So, for me, honestly, I wasn't super excited about Egypt because I guess I didn't know what time frame they were going to do it in. And my knowledge of Egyptian landscaping and buildings and infrastructure is fairly limited.
Yeah.
And so I definitely wasn't excited. And I didn't actually even get excited until I was like maybe like 2 hours into Origins.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, there's some of the towns here are actually really fucking cool.
Yeah, I was impressed by what they did with Origins, with the towns, because, I mean, Assassin's Creed, you run across all the top of the buildings and stuff like that, and That's what a lot of people didn't like about like 3 and things like that.
But
and
3, you were in like 20-foot tall trees like for 40% of the game.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it was kind of got kind of boring after a while, but yeah, and so I was impressed by that. And in Greece with like the Parthenon and all the different islands that they have there, maybe we'll see some return to having your own ship possibly, which would be cool. So I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to the new Borderlands. That's probably going to be announced.
I hope. There's rumors it's not going to be.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
See.
I would be excited if it was a new Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think I'm done with Telltale for now. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you say you're done for Telltale for now, but you're super excited for Microsoft. I mean, that's kind of.
But it's mostly just because I know they're going to have a shit ton of third-party stuff there. I bet you we'll see Cyberpunk 2077 at Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. I will also say that a shit ton of the third-party stuff we saw at Microsoft last year, like, half of that isn't even out yet.
That is true.
Like they were like, 48 titles, and like, how many of those actually released within a year?
Can I get
a number on that? Like, I'm sure less than 20.
Maybe the small ones like probably have released, but the ones that are their big blockbusters or whatever are just like,
yeah,
it's simmered. I know.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Crackdown 3 is completely like, what is happening with that?
That game's never coming out.
Yeah, no. But so just to quickly run through, as you guys know from my appearance on the podcast, big fan of my Switch. Been playing it like a shit ton.
Oh yeah.
The Fire Emblem game on the Switch is probably my most hyped game for E3.
Ah, I hope it gets some. I hope it gets some good runtime during the Nintendo.
Yeah, and it seems like it's going to. They've said for a while that it's going to come out in 2018. I'm still, you know, cautiously optimistic about that happening. But I'm still excited, and maybe we'll get some Metroid Prime 4 footage and stuff like that.
I have high hopes for, and kind of joining what Ed was saying, Nintendo is something I'm excited for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sony's like a given. I say anyone who says they're excited for Sony, it's like, come on, man! Like, you're obviously Sony's gonna be great. You can't be excited for Sony. But I'm like Nintendo. I think there's a lot of potential there. I think there's a lot that they can show, especially when it comes to, like you said, like Metroid, Fire Emblem, whatever. There's like, I don't know. I don't think they're gonna show a new Pokemon game with, you know, they're probably gonna show more of like the Let's Go stuff. But I think there's a lot of potential there to expand that platform, and I'm excited.
You know, the only reason I get nervous about Nintendo is that their press conference is usually only like 30 minutes.
Or lack thereof. Almost.
Yeah, so it's I always get nervous like they're not going to have a lot to show. Although last year there were some pretty good surprises in that short 30-minute show.
If you watch their directs, they focus on just showing the trailers. They don't do a lot of fluff in between.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they just go like, boom, boom, boom.
Thing,
yeah.
Think like Ubisoft. Like, that is like all fluff, right?
Yeah.
So like, like the directs that they've done, like recently, the couple of the ones that showed off, like the remakes and re-releases and stuff like that. It's like trailer, 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 trailer. So I'm hoping that they keep up with that format and really. I mean, a lot of the rumors. One of the guys that leaked the some of the lineup from a previous Switch event. You know,
yeah.
It said like Metroid Prime 4, the Let's Go Pokemon games, which you'd call Let's Go, but whatever. Yeah. Bayonetta 3, Pikmin 4.
Smash.
Are you talking about, was that Shinobi that did that? Or what's his name?
This says, it's from 4chan. It's Ghost UH9BL.
Oh, okay. I remember there being a guy on Twitter who like usually knew.
Yeah. This says also Skyward Sword HD Remake, which could be cool if they tone down the, if you make it so you can skip out through all the text and stuff like that, the tutorials of that game.
Oh man, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. It'll it'll be interesting. If that's, I feel like that's kind of the Zelda game that like maybe Nintendo just quietly doesn't ever want to mention again.
Yeah, I mean, I did enjoy the game. I thought the story of that game was actually pretty good. The whole arc of what happened, but I do know that it wasn't the strongest game in the series by far.
I did finish it though. I mean, that's if that says anything about it.
I did too.
I've never played it.
That's probably quite all right, Nolan.
And I think that's one of like my biggest regrets, and at the same time, not, because every time I'm like, you know, that's like the one game I haven't played, and then I think about it, I talk to like two people, and they're like, don't.
Yeah, I mean, if you're ever like desperate to play something, you could definitely do worse.
Well, I think my backlog is probably has way better games in it than that.
Yes.
Like that, honestly, that game is in my backlog, but it is very far down the list.
I liked it, but I hope that they like remove all the motion control stuff, because I would love to play that game actually in handheld mode and not have to worry about like swinging my arm around.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. There was a few rumors I kind of wanted to get into before we get into the big rumor, but before we do that, is there anything else that you wanted to say you're excited about that you're in particular looking forward to? Or?
No, I think I touched on it. Mostly Nintendo. I'm looking forward to seeing what's more from like Spider-Man and a couple other the PS4 games. So, yeah.
Cool. Maddie Farah in Discord. Oh, Nolan just answered it in Discord.
Oh yeah, sorry. He was asking if my backlog included Vampire, The Masquerade. Yes, it actually does. I can probably find my backlog somewhere. I have it saved in a Google Doc. But yeah, no, that's one of them. Like my backlog is huge. It's one of those things where I didn't get into gaming as early. I mean, sorry, I can say that. I started gaming when I was like 7, but I mean, I was always kind of one of those kids that had like 3 games. Mm-hmm. A year.
So you replayed every single day.
Exactly. So I just played the same games over and over and over. And even though, that's all I had.
Absolutely.
So there are so many games from like early 90s through even like mid 2000s that I've just never played.
Yeah.
Like Dark Cloud 2 is a game I've played, but I've only played like a fraction of that game, maybe like 5 or 6%. And I know I enjoyed what I played, but it's a game I never actually got to sit down and play the whole game. So that's one of the ones that's on there.
That game's probably on my backlog too. Okay, so I have before we talk about the big one, which is the Shadows Die Twice rumors, there's a couple things that kind of broke today that I think are interesting or worth discussing. So three in particular. One, there has been additional evidence that we're going to see an announcement for Devil May Cry 5. I don't know how big either of y'all are into Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. lukewarm, it seems. I'm a huge Devil May Cry fan. So there's been a trademark, or not, they registered the domain for Devil May Cry 5 today or yesterday? Or
okay, yeah, last week.
Yeah, so that seems to be adding flame to the what's the expression?
Flame to
the
fire?
That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound
fuel
right.
To the fire.
Fuel to the fire. Thank you. Total brain cramp. That's fuel to the fire right there that we're going to get a Devil May Cry 5 announcement, which I know a lot of people are pretty excited for. People were expecting it at the PlayStation Experience, but that whole event kind of turned out to suck, and we didn't get anything there. And then on top of that, another Capcom rumor, which is actually part of the same thing, was another domain registration, was for Resident Evil 2 Remake, which I think they reinstantiated ResidentEvil2.com, I think it was. I could be wrong. Basically the same URL they used back when Resident Evil 2 originally came out. But the thing is, both of those domains were registered with the same host that hosted Resident Evil 7's website and Monster Hunter's website right before those games were announced. So that sounds pretty good. Are either of y'all excited about a potential Resident Evil 2 remake? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I love 7, so I think we talked about this, Nick, that you need to give me a list of Resident Evil games to actually like.
Oh, shit. I forgot we did talk about that. You've only ever played 7, huh?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Wow, dude. I mean, have you not played 4?
Nope.
Then you should start
that's
there.
That's like number one. Number one on the list. Like, honestly, the best place to play that is probably on the Wii. Dude, that was a great game that kind of showed support of how the Wii really could work with the motion controls.
Interesting.
But I mean, you don't have to play it on that. Obviously, probably on PCs. Probably.
Best Buy had it on PS4 for like $10 the other day, so I picked that up.
Oh, wow. That game is just one of those games. That was one of the first games where like cutscenes weren't cutscenes. Mm-hmm. Like you put the controller down and all of a sudden you're fucking dead because a fucking like QuickTime event pops up. And that was game that ever really did that. And that was just so crazy. That game I think it paved the way for a lot of innovative like game development.
Also,
and plus it's a really fucking good game.
Also, really, really great atmosphere that feels like totally different than just about any other game in the series. However, if you liked 7, there's definitely, it's worth going back to playing some of the originals like 1, 2, and 3 for sure. But the rumors right now with Resident Evil 2 Remake is there's a lot of talk about it being potentially, we talked about it a little bit on last week's podcast, but there's a lot of rumors about it being on the same engine as Resident Evil 7. There's a lot of talk about the camera being kind of like over the shoulder action, kind of like Resident Evil 4. which is why you should probably play, another reason why you should probably play 4. A lot of cool stuff. I don't know, a lot of those rumors of Resident Evil 2 sounded almost too good to be true, so I don't know, I don't want to give them too much credit until we actually see what it is, but it's looking like we may see that at E3 as well, which is super fucking exciting. But the last rumor I wanted to talk about, this is actually the one I think Nolan at least is going to be pretty excited about. Hitman 2 seems to have leaked today.
Season two.
So, well, I mean, here's the thing. Everyone assumes
everyone's calling it Hitman 2, though.
Yeah, like, because first it started because IO Interactive tweeted a tease with like a blurry image that says, you know, something about your target has been identified, but it's like classified or something. And it says like, was it the one that said 72 hours? They're going to make an announcement about that. I can't remember.
I think so.
But then shortly thereafter, that someone leaked a logo that looks just like the original Hitman logo, but it looks pretty official. It says Hitman 2. I don't know if they're going to keep the episodic thing. I kind of hope they do. I don't know.
So honestly, I do. I do think I do hope they keep the episodic. I like that. I mean, honestly, some of the original, like Blood Money, and all for all intents and purposes, that was episodic. I mean, all the missions are very
standalone.
They have nothing to do with each other. They're siloed. They're all unique. And I think that's a good way to release, especially a game like this, because I think it gives you an opportunity. And honestly, it's one of those situations where I kind of brought up earlier, I don't like have a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
And so if I was like in high school or, you know, kind of broke and I couldn't afford any games, I could definitely see myself picking up Hitman, buying, you know, episode one and then playing it over and over and over and finding all those secrets and finding the little ways to like interact with people on, oh, if I do this and do this and like I can kill them by doing this. And that was one of the best things about the Hitman games. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, Absolution did a fucking shit job at. Like that game was not a fun world to explore.
Yeah,
and I think the reinvention of Hitman that we just got a couple of years ago, and even be it episodic, whatever, I think the worlds they gave you to explore in were just fantastic. There were so many ways you could interact with the environment, and like there was like literally they even touted it. There's like hundreds of ways that you can kill your targets, and that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean honestly, I think Hitman is kind of like the perfect game for episodic format. So
definitely.
So I mean.
And you'll get a full announcement on the 7th.
Yeah, so that's Thursday. So right, yeah,
so you guys will talk about it on Thursday.
So yeah, look forward on the main podcast this week on Thursday night. We should be talking about whatever ultimately ends up getting revealed related to Hitman. So that's pretty exciting. But let's get to what I really wanted to talk about. We didn't get a chance to talk about this on the main podcast last week, but and I'm going to go ahead and preface this by saying take all of this with a huge grain of salt. It did originate on 4chan. Oh, and real quick,
pretty good site.
before we get too far, Mr. Green Toast in Discord says also that Hitman 2 rumor leak, that logo image comes from the official WB Games website. So that's looking pretty legit. I don't know what they mean exactly by Hitman 2, whether it's season 2 or just another standalone game. Who knows? We'll find out on Thursday. It should be pretty exciting. Thank you, Mr. Green Toast, for that update. So this is from 4chan. But it's being reported all over the place, so it's still, I think, worth... And it hasn't been debunked yet, but it's definitely worth discussing. So, you guys are both seasoned Souls fans, right? Or seasoned From Software. You'll both play Dark Souls.
At least Bloodborne. So. I played Bloodborne, a little bit of Souls, Dark Souls 1. But
you're gonna play that, you gonna play that Dark Souls remastered?
I don't know.
That'd be a good place to start.
Yeah, my trouble is I already have... Dark Souls 1, whatever the collections or not the Game of the Year edition was or whatever, and so I feel like I should just like play the game that I already bought.
Probably, you know? So if you got it, play it. The important thing is that you play it. Dark Souls is an amazing series.
Yeah, I mean, I love Bloodborne. It was my number one the year it came out. So
mine as well.
It'd be Witcher 3 on my list.
Yep, mine too.
Crazy in retrospect.
so what we have here is some rumors that leaked from a user on 4chan, has not been confirmed or corroborated by anybody, but has not yet been refuted, and there's some pretty juicy details here, because I think the assumption was after they announced, there was that really cryptic teaser they showed at the Video Game Awards. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, actually, Nolan, you just watched it. You have a better recollection of it than I do.
It's super cryptic. It doesn't really show much. It's lots of close-ups of things and shadows and like, oh, like what time period is that and stuff like that. You don't really see a whole lot.
But there's like Japanese writing in the background, isn't there?
Well, yeah, no, there's some Japanese stuff. Yeah, you can see a little bit, but I mean, you don't really see a whole lot. And we kind of got the assumption it looks kind of Soul Z.
Yeah.
And that's why we, and obviously From Software, we knew that from day one.
Yeah. And the thing is, everybody kind of was assuming that this is Bloodborne 2 because everyone kind of feels like it's time.
It felt like that was the look of the trailer a little bit too.
Yeah.
Some elements of gothic horror and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it was definitely basic enough that it could go either direction. It could be Bloodborne 2 or it could be something totally different. The rumors are, and I'm just going to kind of read down through some of these details. I pulled it from Shaq News, but it's also the original source being from 4chan, like I said. Just a few interesting tidbits I want to cover. Similar atmosphere and style as a Souls game. So that kind of goes with what we said about the trailer. It's going to, you know, tonally we're obviously going to get a very dark atmospheric game. I think all those games since Dark Souls 1 have been pretty dark, but obviously not Bloodborne 2, and actually draws inspiration from Bloodborne and Kuon. This is the interesting thing to me. Kuon is a PS2 era game from Software, back before they were ever known for Dark Souls, which it's a totally different genre of game for them, totally different style of game. Obviously they kind of found their formula with the original Dark Souls, but before that they made this like third person horror game, which, to be honest, I've never played. It's one of those like really obscure horror games that are kind of hard to find on the PS2. It kind of reminds me of like Rule of Rose, like, you know, those kinds of games that are kind of tough to find. I was looking at screenshots of it today. It actually looks a little like Fatal Frame. It's bizarre. But it's like Japanese horror.
Weird.
It's going to be like a combination of Bloodborne and Kuon, but it's going to have an emphasis on like Souls-style combat, but like really brutal combat without any shields or sidearms. So I don't know. The thing is, like, they took shields out of Bloodborne because they replaced them with sidearms. So if you take both of those out,
what are you going to counter with?
I don't know what that. I don't know what that leaves you. Yeah,
I'm sure they'll come up. I mean, that was one of the things when like sidearms was a thing, and we were like, "How are you going to guns? You can't counter."
Yeah.
But then they figured out a way that you could counter with guns.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I have no doubt that they'll find some other way to kind of replace that with something else that's fun and interesting. By the way, thank you, Mr. Greentoast, in Discord for this is one reason I like sharing the Discord chat on the screen while we're recording these. Mr. Greentoast went in there and posted a screenshot of Kuon if you're interested in checking that out.
Oh,
it looks like Fatal Frame. I mean, without the camera, it's creepy. But
yeah, part of the rumor Pocop says in chat is that people were saying you can counter with your actual weapon instead of needing a separate weapon.
Interesting.
That's an interesting. I mean, honestly, there's been plenty of games before where you know, it's like almost like a parry system. You can parry with a weapon. But I mean, I guess that does make sense that you could, you know, do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But one thing I think is interesting, but they keep bringing up Kuon because a lot of people don't even realize they made this game back in the day. Anything before Dark Souls, they're like, what? So could this be a fucking like Dark Souls style horror game?
Like, I hope so.
That sounds fucking I mean, Bloodborne was kind of already on the way to being just that.
Definitely. That was a game that, and honestly, look at any Souls game. Doesn't that terrify you?
Yeah.
Like, trying to pick up the controller.
Part of the fear is like what's going to happen around the next corner.
Yeah. Every time you open go through a doorway, you're like, oh, shit.
Or like you are fighting a completely different enemy that you've never encountered before. Like, that's part of the charm of the horror aspect of like, oh, shit, I'm going to die.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you know, you take that feeling that you already get from a Souls game and add even more horror elements to that. Like, think of, like, jump scares. I mean, obviously, there's been some before, but, like, more creepy things. Like, like, ghosts or, like, you know, like, crying kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, some elements of Japanese horror. Like Bloodborne, like I mentioned before, had a lot of gothic horror in it. Like, almost like Cthulhu. Lovecraftian horror.
And that was so cool.
Doing something with a little bit more like traditional Japanese horror could be kind of neat too.
I've got two words for you: ring ghost.
Oh
shit, Brad!
I mean, I guess it's also a scenario where you can now you get a chance to kill it.
Brad's gonna poo.
Only a little less scary.
Brad is going to poo. anyways, the rumor is it's set in ancient Japan and it focuses on an ancient cult who are scared of the end of the world and they sacrifice people on a blood shrine. I don't know what that means exactly, but it sounds interesting.
Who cares? I'm down.
Yeah, who cares?
Nick, you've never seen a blood shrine?
Do you have a blood shrine like in your backyard?
There's one in no one's house.
I mean, I can't afford a blood shrine.
Oh,
I'm not made of money.
I didn't know there was a it was a matter of money.
Oh, Nick, there's a heavy price.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Oh my goodness. Also, enemies will apparently play host to some kind of body controlling parasite. Another reason Ed should play Resident Evil 4. Here, this is also really interesting. It's apparently going to have more of an open world design, which is something people have wanted them to kind of go back to ever since Dark Souls 1. Because Dark Souls 2, 3, Bloodborne, they've all kind of had they've been open to a degree, but more like hubs with like branching paths coming off of them.
Right.
Dark Souls 1 was a little bit more open and like
I wouldn't call it open per se. I would just say that all of those branching paths all had ways of connecting to each other.
Exactly.
That it was almost Metroidvania to an extent. You couldn't always open the door from this side, or you couldn't access this area to get to a door. So you literally had to progress you know, so far into the game to be able to unlock that shortcut, which like almost then makes your life easier. Because that in Dark, like, that was one of the big things with Dark Souls compared to later games is fast travel. Fast travel didn't get unlocked until like what? Like at least halfway, maybe two thirds of the way into that game.
Yeah.
So every time you increase into a new area, it was always the, oh, do I backtrack to the last bonfire? Do I keep pushing? Is there another bonfire that's literally around a corner, but I'm too afraid to even peek to see? That was one of the things that made that game so intense.
I'm thinking about everything you just said combined with like a horror. Japanese horror setting. Holy shit. Oh my god. I hope this is real.
Things are going to chase you in that game, and that frightens the shit.
I know. It scares the hell out of me just thinking about it, but it could be so cool. Aside from being kind of a more open design, there's also talk about it being a day-night cycle with enemies being stronger at night. Kind of like,
that's pretty cool.
Kind of like Dying Light. Which
Dying
is
Light. Yeah. And it could be like one of the, I don't know if it'll be like one of the, but that was one of Dying Light, and you know Nick knows it a little bit. He's played a decent amount of that game.
Oh yeah,
that, like when you start that game, you just don't go out at night.
That's not
a thing you do. It's dumb to try and do that. You probably will die. And so I like that even though you might have the ability to do something early on, you choose not to because like
in that game once I started to get like the kind of confidence to go out at night, I started to realize that, like, oh, these guys aren't that scary. I probably could have gone out earlier.
Yeah.
If I just had a few of the traversal skills and I would have been fine. But that it's an interesting self-discovery as you kind of go through that game.
Absolutely.
You know?
And by the way, just kind of circling back to E3, this is another thing. Like, I think one of my most anticipated hopes and dreams. I'm. It's a good sign. We have an appointment to see why can I not suddenly think? Of the studio, Dying Light. Who did die? Why am I totally blank?
Techland.
Thank you. We have an appointment with Techland. They have an unannounced game they're showing, and they seem to be kind of trying to hint that it's something very exciting. I'm really, really, really hoping we're about to get Dying Light 2 because holy shit, I love that game.
As opposed to those studios that don't hint that it's very exciting.
Well, I mean,
don't buy this game.
But like, they're even like the emails they send out to like media and stuff to set up appointments and stuff is kind of like. Hey, wink, wink, we got something big. Like, not, okay. A lot of times we'll be like, we have a cool, exciting new game to check out. But, like, they're not usually, like, putting, like, parentheses, wink, wink, like, practically in their emails, which is pretty exciting. Cool. So I'm really hoping that's Dying Light 2, but we'll find out soon. But, yeah, that's kind of the summary of what people are thinking right now about Shadows Die Twice. I'm really hoping we get confirmation as to what this is. This might be related to another thing that was kind of announced today. Sony is doing something different this year with their announcements in the days leading up to E3, up to their press conference, like 4 days before their press conference. They're going to be announcing games every day, like new games. Yeah, so starting on.
Yeah, I heard about that, like four new games over the course of the next.
And they're a combination of PS4 exclusive titles and PS4 games with PSVR support. So I don't know, some of them might be throwaway, some of them might not be, but they're announcing four new games starting on Thursday, so we might be able to have the first one before the show as well. But they're doing this is probably because during their main show they're going to be focusing a lot on those four big titles they were talking about: Spider-Man, Last of Us, Death Stranding, and what's the last one? I always forget one of them. Death Stranding, Last of Us 2.
The motorcycle one.
No, not Days Gone. Fuck, somebody in chat has to know the answer to this. I should know the answer. It's a major PS4 exclusive. That's not the one. Not the one. With
Ghost of Tsushima.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
Ghost of Tsushima.
I get the prize.
Yes, you do. So yeah, they're going to be focusing on those during their press conference a lot. So leading up to it, they're probably trying to get some of the other announcements out because they know we're spending a lot of time talking about the other games. So who knows what those could be? Maybe we'll get a reveal for what Shadows Die Twice is before E3 even hits. I don't know what it is. I don't care. I'm fucking excited. It should be cool. I just hope it's not disappointing. all right. And yeah, Mr. Green Toast just posted in Discord if you want to look at the link there. So someone, if you want to post that in the actual chat, I know some people might be interested to look at that. All right. So that's kind of it for E3. Of course, as I've said several times, we're going to be doing our E3 coverage starting on Sunday, actually, because Microsoft and Bethesda conferences are on Sunday, so we'll be live commentating those, and then me, Crispy, and Chris Davis will be in LA Monday through Thursday at the show to play all the games and talk about them, per usual. I'm actually in the process of getting a post up on the site with kind of outlining our schedule and all of our plans and everything, so look for that. I hope to have that up tomorrow. I'll also have details on our community meetup, because I know we're going to do something on the last night in LA for sure. Alright, Ed.
Yes.
You have a game.
I do have a game.
You've been playing a game.
I have been playing a game.
As you can see in this big, beautiful background we have on the stream. Oh, and you have footage. Look at this.
I do have footage.
That is so cool. I'm glad you...
Hopefully this will work. Nolan's just going to have to stop talking for the rest of the podcast. Just kidding.
Talk, Nolan, talk!
So I'm about to walk into a little combat area, so we'll...
By the way, this is... To set it up, this is Masters of Anima.
Masters of Anima.
And this is...
So the story of this game is pretty simple. There's a bad guy that does bad things. But the gameplay of this game kind of feels kind of tacticky or kind of Pikmin-y.
I watched the trailer for this and I was like, this looks a little like Pikmin.
Come back.
But with like this weird, I don't know why I keep wanting to, like, when I first saw it, I was like, visually, I was thinking of Kingdoms of Amalur.
Oh, weird.
Which I know it's the first time I think I've ever thought about that game since that game came out.
So you can see there's a little bit of a, like, tactical element to like how you're trying to position your guys around, and I'm not doing that great at it, but so the kind of different people that you have little foot soldiers that go into melee range, you have archers, you have these like healer dudes that pull out the like precious anima resource or whatever out of them.
Ed, what is anima?
Anima is just a resource for you to be able to build more guys. So if you look on the bottom right-hand corner of my screen, if you can see it, there's the little green orbs that keep filling up. And they just allow me to summon more guys. So right now I have 13 total units out of 20. And so if I just hold down the right trigger here and then press A a bunch of times, I'll summon a shit more of them.
Sweet. By the way, for those people who are listening and maybe wondering who this game is developed by, it's Past Tech Games, so it's published by Focus Home Entertainment.
So I kind of just heard of this game just by kind of people talked about it a little bit, and it seemed kind of fun, and so I actually really do recommend it for some people to kind of just give it a try and see if they like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty simple as far as its story. At first I thought it would be like a super easy game to play, but it turns out to be kind of tough. It's pretty difficult once you get into the more complicated bosses. Like this is actually kind of a mini boss of the map.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the maps are pretty linear. There's some boss maps where you kind of have to rush from one place to another. I had to get those archers out of the way of that tornado.
No one just posted a picture of Little King Story. Does this have anything in common with Little King Story?
I mean, to an extent, that the footage kind of remind me of Little King Story, and it's similar to Pikmin, but it's slightly more complex than Pikmin, and obviously this is slightly more complex than Little King Story. But yeah, you have actual creatures that are the ones who actually go out to do the combat, and you don't necessarily throw them as much as you assign them to do things. Combat's a lot more intense.
Yeah.
But obviously this is way more than Little King Story.
Yeah, so there's the combat sections, but there's also like little puzzle sections too, where you're like wandering around the world and different guys can do different like little abilities. You have your soldiers, which can I have to get rid of some of these guys and summon some more. Your soldiers can push things around. Your archers have the ability,
Ed, is this not footage? You're actually playing the game?
Yeah, I'm actually playing the game.
I'm reporting footage.
This is hard-hitting journalism right here. We're actually playing the game live.
Exactly. But yeah, no, it's I think it's worth it. I think it was like maybe $20 on Switch, and it's on Steam too. So I definitely think that you should that anyone that it would be interested in like Pikmin or something like that should give it a try and see if they like it.
Anybody out there who's still dying waiting for Pikmin 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Perhaps
this is kind of a nice little holdover.
Oh my god, that's really funny because now I'm thinking about it, like, we haven't talked about Pikmin 4, but like E3's coming up and you're talking about Nintendo and nobody's talking about like what the fuck happened to Pikmin 4? Is that game not happening still? What the hell?
I mean, I think the game's happening. It's just coming out on Switch, not Wii U.
Yeah, but like it's been. Oh, okay, this would have to be the year. Maybe.
I mean, one of the rumors was Pikmin 4.
Oh yeah, that's right. You mentioned that at the start of the show. That's right.
So,
sorry.
Maybe you'll get your Pikmin 4 after all.
Why is Chris Davis in Discord saying they look like creeps? What are creeps?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I have no idea what he's talking about either.
Skittles is talking about crepes. anyway, yeah, so that's
So I in case you guys haven't kind of noticed from my streams and stuff like that, I like playing little indie games like this. Mm-hmm. That don't get a lot of attention, but I think are pretty fun. Sometimes they're kind of hit or miss. Sometimes I do a hard miss. I've played a couple games on the stream that were just not good.
Yeah.
But I do want to do this kind of thing, and I'd love to come on more 4-player pluses and talk about kind of some of the different games that I've played.
Absolutely.
On or off the feed, kind of make it maybe a monthly segment or something like that.
Yeah.
Especially after we move.
For sure. Oh, so is that public information now?
Oh yeah, yeah, totally public information. I'm moving to Austin, and I'm going to be doing Austin stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having fun with the Austin crew.
So you might be seeing Ed a lot more in the not mm-hmm. too distant future because Ed is moving to Austin. I was I meant to ask you that before we started recording if that was public information. So
I've
been intentionally trying to not say it out loud.
Dropping that bomb, but yeah, I know everyone knows now.
Awesome.
They're all sad.
Congratulations. Well,
we're very happy and excited. So I'm looking forward to being on more podcasts and kind of hanging around with the crew and
absolutely.
Since unfortunately, the timing of everything meant I couldn't go to E3 this year, but. But I'll probably be there next year.
There's always next year.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing Masters of Anima. I think that's really all we got for tonight. Nolan, thank you for being here.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. I'm glad to be on my first 4-player plus. I'm excited to do these more. Formal than the podcast, just kind of chill out and talk about side topics and stuff like
that. Exactly. Yeah, this is the kind of thing I was having a lot of fun trying to think of different topics to do and whatnot, and being able to like line up different guests and talk about various topics. And I mentioned this last week and stuff, but like this is the perfect opportunity to kind of talk about whatever, anything that we can't really get on the main show. Like,
yeah,
I've talked a lot about maybe wanting to do like the Revival Club again, but this might be an avenue to just be able to like, I'm going to play an old game that I've never played before, and then find someone on the crew or maybe on the community that has played the game, maybe come on and talk about it with me, that kind of stuff. Also, I'm still hoping to do a God of War spoiler cast or a Detroit spoiler cast.
I got an idea
cast.
For you, Nick.
What's that?
Get at least me and Crispy, but maybe whoever else is interested too, and talk about like what kind of sci-fi is on TV right now, and talk about the different shows.
That would be very interesting.
Right before we recorded some of our top 10 videos, me and him talked at length, like for like 15, 20 minutes before we started, about the Orville, about Star Trek Discovery. I'd love to talk to more people about The Expanse.
So my friend just lent me his DVD for The Expanse and wants me to watch the first season.
Oh my gosh, I have the biggest heart on for that game, for not the game, that show.
Awesome.
Imaginable.
Well,
I love it so much.
That is a great idea. This is, like I said, this is kind of why this is exciting. I'm going to try and do these when possible every Monday night before my stream. There might be a few weeks where it's not possible, whatever, but we want to make these a regular thing. If you're a supporter on Patreon, you'll of course get 24-hour early access to the downloads. You'll also be able to, as a patron, jump into the chat channel to like add to the conversation, ask questions and stuff that we can respond to while we're recording it. Sometimes these episodes may be more crowded than other in the chat room with more conversation, talking points for people to add to, but Either way, if you're a patron, you can jump in and post silly shit like people are posting in chat right now. Nolan's posting this weird Thanos thing with Reggie. It's freaking me the fuck out, but it's also hilarious. That's also why our Discord is awesome. So if you're out there, if you're listening for the first time and you have not yet joined our Discord, we'd love to have you in there. It's discord.gg/4player. Like I said, I'm going to do these every Monday night when I can. I think...
And what's the level that people can get the early access to these?
You would ask me that. I want to say it's $5, but to be totally honest, okay. I'm kind of working my way down a list of things I'm trying to do right now, one of which was getting some updates to the website done before we go to E3, which I did last night. I want to get some new merch up in the store before we go to E3, which I have a week left to do that. And one of those things is to go and update our Patreon, shuffle some things around as far as like goals we're working towards and tiers that people can pledge to. I think right now it's $5. That might go down.
It looks like you get access to the bonus podcast, the channel with $5, but you get early access to all podcasts with $3.
Yes.
Correct.
So, like I said, that might change a little bit. We're going to kind of talk about that and figure that out, but for right now, that's what it is. But if you're interested in supporting us, you can find us at patreon.com/4player, and you can jump in and kind of interact with us during these episodes. I'm not sure yet. Obviously, next week we won't have a 4-player plus because we'll be in E3. But when I get back, I'm crossing my fingers here, but I may have roped Joseph into coming on to talk about E3 after E3 is done.
Dang.
Which
nice.
Is exciting.
I will say that we'll probably have some live streams and live commentary of the different like press conferences and stuff. So
absolutely.
Be tuned in for that. Yeah. For those of us that are still at home.
Yep, absolutely. Like I said, I'm going to get a post up tomorrow, which will have all of our details for our coverage plans and details for the meetup. So check out 4playernetwork.com for that. And yeah, that's it, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out. Thank you guys for being on the show. And if you're watching right now, stay tuned. I'm going to kind of go to an intermission for a second, set up my stream, and I'm going to be playing Watch Dogs 2 because I don't know why. It's because it's on my backlog, which is... By the way, Nolan posted his backlog in Discord, and it's fucking massive.
Yeah,
it's pretty big. It's a long list of things that the one thing I did want to, and when I created it, I made a point to note on there if I'd started them or not, because if someone ever looks at it, I want them to be like, oh, you've never played this. It's not that I've never played it. It's just I never gave it enough of my time.
Yeah,
right.
Not necessarily just game. Yeah, like Half-Life 2. I'd never finished Half-Life 2. And yeah. that's like a big deal to me.
That's
like
a fantastic game.
Yeah, except
I know it is. And what I've played, I loved, but I got it at a weird time in my life, and I wasn't able to.
I'm gonna save you some grief, Nolan. Play Half-Life 2. Stop there. Don't play the episode 1 and 2.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say don't play Half-Life 3.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No problem.
Don't play that one for sure. But yeah. Anyways, thank you guys for being on. 4playernetwork.com is the website. Join us next week for E3 coverage, and the week after that, we'll have another episode of 4-Player Plus. Not sure what we're going to talk about yet, but I will let everybody know. And, yeah, that's it. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for watching.